Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Mine is at about 50%, and I'll tell you why. I have a tendency to overcommit. I want to help with everything I can possibly help with. I want to do everything I can possibly do. I want to be with people, and I forget that at the end of the day, I am an introvert, and I really need time to recharge and take care of myself. Therapy gives me important tools to do that, to recognize what's going on, to understand my battery and where it is and why it's there and what I can do to recharge. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/pantsuit. So that I do not like to spend my time or money in salons when I can help it, but I do enjoy a good manicure, and I especially enjoy spending time with my daughters doing the Olive and June Mani system at home. Because we can all get a good-looking manicure for around $2. We know that the polish won't chip and will last at least a full week. We get to await with anticipation the new colors that come out each season. The girls love being able to add some sparkles or choose whether they want their top coat to be matte or shiny. We just have a really good time together with salon-grade tools that are so easily explained so that we can do a really good job taking care of our nails, but do it all from the comfort at home. All the choices of a big salon stored in a basket in my closet for when we're ready to hang out together. The Olive and June Mani system is a real game changer. So visit oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first Mani system. There are not a lot of guarantees in life. Not a lot is promised to us. Everybody in a leadership position has a responsibility that most of us cannot fathom right now.
This is Sarah.
And Beth.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics,
the home of grace-filled political conversations.
Welcome to another episode of Pantsuit Politics. We are so thankful for all of you. It just feels important during this tough time to say how grateful we are to be able to sit down and talk with each other and share it with this community and hear from all of you for all of your support on Patreon, on social media, and just mainly through listening. We really, really are so grateful for all of you. Before we get started, we wanted to talk quickly about our extra credit book subscription through the Wild Geese Bookshop. There is another shipment going out for the second quarter, and so we thought we'd talk about the books and also share that if you want to get online and discuss either the first of the year's books or the new books or whatever books you want to talk about, there is a Pantsuit Politics Book Club Facebook page. So I think I'm going to log on there and we're going to do a little more like talking specifically about our extra credit subscription books in that place. Now, so we've got four new books. Beth, tell the people about our first pick, which is one of your favorite books of all time.
Well, Sarah felt that we needed some fiction in the mix. And so we are including my favorite political fiction ever. I love this book so much that my husband got me a first edition signed copy for my birthday last year. It is Primary Colors. And it was written anonymously at first by a reporter who very
closely followed the Clinton campaign during the Clinton primary. It is phenomenal. It is so fun. I think about little snippets of wisdom from it all the time. It has plenty of drama in it. It is not a historical record. It is a fictionalized account of things that went down in that campaign. So definitely a great, quick read.
I'm really excited. I've never read it. It's just kind of outrageous. I don't think I've even seen the movie. So I'm really excited to read it.
That is outrageous. That's completely outrageous.
Right? That's what I think. We've also picked the Federalist Papers, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, James Madison, an important piece of constitutional history and constitutional theory. So we're going to tackle those and do a series on those later in the summer. So we thought we'd put that in the extra credit box. We also picked, listen, this was a few weeks ago, Spillover by David Quammen, which is about global pandemics. And here's the thing. There's two types of people in the world. There's the people that are watching Contagion right now on Netflix, and there are the people that get nauseous at the mere mention of any additional information about global pandemics. So if you're the first person in the group, you're going to love this pick in the extra credit box. If you're the second person, don't worry. You don't have to read it. And then lastly, we're really excited. Beth had talked about this book in previous episodes. We included The Rabbit Listened by Corey Dorfeld, which is a children's book, and it's just a beautiful story. And I don't know if parable is the right word, but it's just really, really lovely. And if you have kids, it'll be a great addition to your house. And if you don't, we're all doing our part and reading online to other people's kids. So you'll find a use for it that way too, through a Zoom call to keep somebody else's kids entertained for about 30 minutes. So that's what's in the extra credit box. You can go to the Pantsuit Politics Facebook group, and we'll be there discussing all these books as well as doing series on them on the show.
We also are going to be doing a giveaway of the book In Good Hands on Instagram soon. It's a really interesting book about women and leadership. It has some very practical advice for women who are interested in seeking office. It has profiles of different women who've served in elected office. It's just a great resource.
We wanted to share as well that we will be doing some additional Five Things You Need to Know series soon. We think we're going to do Five Things You Need to Know About Voting by Mail. That increasingly looks like the option we will all be pursuing in the fall, and some of us already in the spring with the primaries. So look for Five Things You Need to Know About Voting by Mail. And today we're going to talk about some misinformation. We just realized as coronavirus continues to spread, we all saw the news this week, the projections for how many people might lose their lives over the next few months, that this is a very fertile environment for misinformation. And I know so many of you are in the position that I am in with a family member who often presents these theories or conspiracy theories or just plain run-of-the-mill misinformation, things that they got wrong to you, and then you feel like you need to respond. So the thought was, well, why don't we run through some of these so you understand what's coming at you and you have some things to say in response.
The first thing we want to talk about is not really misinformation as much as incomplete information. It's been circulating widely on social media that the Kennedy Center for the Arts received $25 million under the CARES Act. And it is going around as sort of an eye roll, look at Democrats trying to load up the CARES Act with pork and special interests that don't have anything to do with coronavirus. And I understand why people feel that way. We should also share, though, that the Kennedy Center is a federal program. So this is not just a private arts institute that was cherry-picked by Congress. Congress has a responsibility to fund the Kennedy Center. And the Kennedy Center, like arts institutions all over the country, cannot sell tickets right now. And that lost revenue, that revenue that usually allows the Kennedy Center to be more self-sustaining than many of our other federal programs, like our national parks, for example, that lost revenue means that the Kennedy Center is in dire straits. It looks like by the end of the month, even with lots of furloughs of employees, the Kennedy Center is not going to be able to pay its bills and is going to be tapped out on a line of credit available to it. So even in Mitch McConnell's draft of the CARES Act, there was money for the Kennedy Center. It was only $1 million. I say only $1 million. There are so many people who work in the arts who are like, oh my gosh, if we could have $1 million right now, it would be life changing. Yeah. But McConnell had $1 million in. Nancy Pelosi wanted 35. The compromise number is 25. You might still think that is not a priority today, but I do want you to know why the Kennedy Center ended up in this bill and what Congress's responsibility toward it is.
They didn't help themselves by furloughing workers. I understand that was like the best choice they feel like they had. And they employ like 3,000 people. So I don't think it's that necessarily that even this choice or the criticism of the Kennedy Center for furloughing employees is just, you know, should be beyond criticism. But the picking apart individual outlays of money, like, it's not that I think there shouldn't be transparency, but using this as in, oh, well, Nancy Pelosi just wants to fund an opera center. It's just, you know, it's ugly. It's just ugly partisanship. And if we're going to take a pass on anything, I'd really like to take a pass on that. The other thing that I was told, forwarded, sent in exasperation, is that Congress snuck in a $25 million raise for themselves in the CARES Act. Okay, again, just take a moment and ask yourself, does that seem like something? I mean, maybe you do, maybe you're a person that like, yeah, that seems exactly like something they do. But the reality, not surprisingly, is more complicated. I thought this quote from Evan Hollander, the communications director of the House Appropriations Committee, said was very helpful. He says the $25 million in funding is to support the House's capability to telework, including for the purchase of equipment and improvements to the network. It also provides money for the cost of paying the staff of the House Child Care Center, food service contracts, and paying the House Sergeants of Arms. None of the funds will go to the members' salary. That's, you know, that's constitutional law. That has, there's a statutory formula that has to change congressional salaries. So if you hear that, the last pay raise for Congress was in January 2009, and they just declined a member's raise in December. So that is not what was in the CARES Act.
And just to add on, members of Congress cannot raise their own salaries. They have to wait until after the next election. So there is always that check on the ability of members of Congress to inflate congressional salaries, that another election, they're going to have political accountability for doing it. Not that they should never raise their salaries. Sometimes they should. But it is not a free-for-all in terms of their ability to pay themselves. Okay, let's talk about videos taken outside of hospitals. Let's take a deep breath before we talk about this. So hashtag film your hospital began with an individual named Todd Starnes, and he was trying to say all of this panic about hospitals being overwhelmed is liberal Democratic fantasy aimed at making Donald Trump look bad. We're finally at my favorite time of year. Spring is here. Summer is just around the corner. We're getting our summer essentials ready, our sunscreen, our emotional support water bottles, our steamy beach reads. But maybe you would prefer your steamy earbuds. This year, there is a new kind of essential right at your fingertips. Enemies to love, chance encounters, a slow burn, friends that become more. Whatever your favorite romantic trope, Dipsy has a spicy audio story just for you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short and spicy audio stories that bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. You can discover stories about second chance romances and adventurous vacation flings. That's my favorite. Hot and heavy hookups. It can be as heavy or as light as you want it to be. This is what I love about Dipsy. It is a modern approach to romance through high quality, captivating audio fiction that you can listen to in the privacy of your own headphones. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/pantsuit. That's dipsystories.com/pantsuit.
I recently reorganized my closet and realized that I never need to buy a white blouse or a blue dress again as long as I live. Guys, I have plenty. I did want to add some much neglected color, like pink and yellow, to my closet, and I knew just where to go. Quince always has timeless pieces and a true rainbow of options that can help you build a classic wardrobe no matter the season. It's getting warmer, so I got a soft pink chiffon pleated miniskirt that is so cute and a really beautiful yellow cashmere tee. It's short-sleeved. It's perfect for this sort of bridge weather we're experiencing right now. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I absolutely love it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/pantsuit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/pantsuit to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/pantsuit. Traditionally, financial planning advice is either only for those who are already wealthy or salespeople calling themselves financial advisors who say they'll give you free financial advice but really just sell products to earn commissions. Fearless Finance takes a dramatic departure from either of those traditional models. Their entire business is built on making financial advice accessible and affordable because we know that financial literacy, stress reduction, and financial security are critical to overall well-being. I'm a little bit obsessed with Elizabeth, our Fearless Finance advisor. I've had an array of advisors in the past who answered questions like, should we be spending less on this, with evasive answers like, it depends on your priorities. Not Elizabeth. She answers with actually helpful guidelines. You're spending more than the average family of five, or I'd like to see this increase by 6%. Thank you. This is Fearless Finance's mission, to make advice affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually and they charge you by the hour. You only pay for the time you use down to a quarter hour. Their planners meet with you where you are on your financial journey, no judgment. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code PANTSUIT. That's fearlessfinance.com and use code PANTSUIT for $50 off your first planning meeting.
Okay. So, other people start sharing images of hospitals that look like hospitals, like normal run-of-the-mill hospitals without a bunch
from
of activity
outside.
Going on.
From the outside. This is my favorite outside. Part. Outside the hospital.
These videos cannot be sourced. They cannot be fact-checked, really. And they cannot be countered with images from inside hospitals because we have laws against you just running around with cameras inside hospitals. And so there were some prominent right-wing media accounts that retweeted these things, and they started to get a little bit of traction. And unfortunately, that has necessitated people filming outside hospitals where, like, FEMA has brought refrigerated tractor trailers for bodies exiting those hospitals. We need to not do this, okay? Hospitals have enough going on. Here in Kentucky, we have dispatched members of the National Guard to hospitals just as a precaution to make sure things don't get out of hand. Like, just leave the hospitals alone. What you see on the outside of the building tells you absolutely nothing about what's going on inside it.
Ugh. I don't understand what they want to see. Like, I know there's been photos of people lining up for tests and lining up for services, particularly in some Queens and hospitals in Brooklyn. Like, do they want that 24 hours a day? Do we want people throwing themselves out the window like the hospital's on fire? Like, I'm not really sure what they're looking for that would prove that this is bad. Like, the distrust of basic reality and media reporting. And look, the truth is, it didn't get any better because CBS shared images from a Spanish hospital in a story about American hospitals. And so they were like, see what they're doing? Like, they made an honest mistake. And that just fed directly into this fervor about, like, they're playing it up. It's not as bad as you think. But, you know, just the level of cynicism and distrust and, you know, the desire for, I mean, to me, this is like creeping really into conspiracy theory. I want to make sense of something that a scary reality. And so I'm going to spread the idea that the media is creating this so I don't really have to be scared of the fact that 100,000 to 200,000 Americans are going to lose their lives or could lose their lives over the next 2 months. But it's just, you know, it's really, really frustrating.
It is. And I feel the way that Governor Newsom expressed feeling over the last 24 hours. Just what else do you need to know? Like, how much more information do you need to believe that we should take this seriously? Even if you still think we are taking it more seriously than we have to, which I think is just completely unsupported by any credible information. But like the states that are saying, well, we're not there yet. Right. And the point is, you don't have to get there. That's the thing with these hospitals. Maybe they're not there yet. We're trying to prevent them from getting there. Why would we want to rush into the absolute eye of the storm? Because once we get there, there's no going back. We cannot do social distancing after we get right into the middle of this thing and expect it to make the outcomes much, much, much better. This is all about trying to avoid that point that Sarah was just describing.
All the trends leading up into this moment that right-wing media and Donald Trump have perpetuated, the idea that you cannot trust any reporting at all, is increasingly dangerous. It was already damaging and dangerous, particularly as it fed nationalistic and racist ideas and groups all over the country. It's just, again, the coronavirus is such an accelerant. And so these trends that were already so dangerous and so harmful, when it's about public health, and it's, you know, it's hard. I think it is hard. You know, we're here right now, we're in the middle of a story about face masks, where for weeks we were told, don't wear a face mask in public. You'll touch it. It won't fit right. It could make you sicker. And now all of a sudden it's, well, we're not so sure. Actually, wearing a face mask in public could be really helpful. The CDC is expected to release guidelines advising everyone to wear a face mask in public. And so, you know, it's hard enough that the projections shift, that the advice shifts, then to come in and say, you can't trust anything. See every little mistake they make, every shift they make, that's proof that they're all lying and it's all a conspiracy. It's just, it's really, really difficult to deal with and to combat, and the repercussions grow and grow and grow of that type of approach.
And this, I think, connects to what we're going to talk about next, but we're not entitled for it to be easy. We're not entitled for the information to be consistent every day, for one piece of information to build perfectly on the next. We're not entitled to imagery that convinces us personally that our sacrifices are worth it. This is a moment when we have to realize that there are not a lot of guarantees in life. Not a lot is promised to us. Everybody in a leadership position has a responsibility that most of us cannot fathom right now. That doesn't insulate them from criticism. It also means that as a public, we have to have a measure of patience with information that's coming out. There are people in public health who have been crying to the rooftops to anyone who would listen for years about the possibility that we're seeing unfold right now, about how unprepared for it we've been. And no one wanted to listen because we have felt entitled to live our lives exactly as we want to prioritize the things we want to prioritize without planning for this kind of future. And so we have to take a breath now and realize that we are where we are for a whole lot of reasons. We might be there anyway, and we just don't get to feel good about everything that we're being asked to do. It's not available. And similarly, we've gotten a little bit of pushback on talking too much about coronavirus here. And I understand that people feel overwhelmed and that sometimes you need to take a break. And I absolutely encourage you to take a break. And also, there is not healing in distraction. There is healing in paying attention. And we owe it to each other to stay focused on this thing in front of us. We have listeners who have already lost loved ones from this virus, and there will be more. We have listeners who are on the front line attacking it every single day and putting their own health at risk. And I just think this is not a time when we can say, well, I deserve a breather, much as I would love to talk constantly about something else, because intellectually that would be nice. It would make me feel better for a minute. But it is just important for us to stay here and pay attention.
I think I'm a little defensive about that criticism in particular, because we are not a 24/7 cable news channel. We are not asking you to tune in and think and have anxiety and worry and fear about COVID-19 all day, every day. We are very careful We are very contained. We have two podcasts a week and a nightly nuance and the news briefs in the morning. So we have very like sort of finite check-ins where we have pledged to you that we will share a sort of holistic approach to news and politics. And the holistic approach to news and politics right now is, as best we can, processing, informing, and analyzing the global pandemic that is affecting every single human being on planet Earth right now. So, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. And again, we're not asking you to spin in anxiety 24/7. That's not healthy. That's not good for anybody. We try to be very careful about sharing information, encouraging action. We give lots of positive shout outs. We're going to do that after this next break in the show. And also share, you know, sharing our own lives, sharing poetry and art from listeners. But, you know, we're all going through this together and everybody deals with it differently. And we have to give grace when those sort of different approaches rub up against each other. You know, some people need lots of check-ins. Some people need to take a break. There's not going to be a universal approach that's going to fit everybody's needs. And so we're just trying to do the best we can. And every single news item, even news outside of direct coronavirus information, is affected by this. You know, election reform, the Syrian civil war, climate change, the economy, everything is being affected by COVID-19. And, you know, it would not be fair and it would not be accurate to present anything but that.
We'll take a quick break and we'll share the shout outs that Sarah was mentioning, because there are some people who are working really hard and doing some fantastic work leading their communities right now.
Listen, y'all, let's be serious. I'm 42 years old. Of course, I take my skincare routine seriously. There are a lot of daily skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, but how do you know your products are actually working? Well, Ritual is here for you. They have Hyacera, their once daily skin supplement, clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. They conducted a clinical study and it led to a 3.6 times reduction in crow's feet within 90 days as compared to a placebo, and a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness within 90 days as compared to a placebo. I love taking my Hyacera every day as part of my skincare routine. Instead of just slathering more products on my face, it feels like I'm doing something from the inside out. And their one daily capsule is essenced with soothing vanilla, so it's a very pleasant experience. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Spring is so tricky because I feel the sun shining, the earth is waking up, and I want fresh, vegetable-forward meals. And I'm running in 75 directions and don't have a lot of kitchen and prep time. Fortunately, Factor is here for me and for you with fresh, never-frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. They have a ton of options for us, including keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie, calorie smart, and so many add-ons. If you need help with breakfast or snacks or on-the-go lunches or beverages, Factor is here for you. Every meal I've had from Factor is so well composed, it's so flavorful, the sauces are delicious, and Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for Earth Month Eats badges on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/pantsuit50 and use code pantsuit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PANTSUIT50 at factormeals.com/PANTSUIT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they made solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval.
Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
So y'all continue to step up and share the local officials that you think are doing a good job. And we have a lot of Ohio love today, for Governor Mike DeWine and for Dr. Amy Acton, who is Ohio's top public health official.
Well, Governor DeWine just got a major write-up about how he was so aggressive way before anybody else. Our governor, Andy Beshear, has said that him and DeWine talk every day. And I'm like, I can tell because you two are killing it. And it must be nice. I feel like every time I hear him say, I'm reaching out to this person, or it gives me great comfort to think about those two governors, checking in every day and figuring out what works, sharing information. I would like to be on one of those phone calls.
And like in Kentucky, Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton are holding daily press conferences. Let me tell you something. I feel like I'm going to church during those daily press conferences. It is for me the most connecting act that I have ever participated in as a Kentuckian. And I say this as a person who's watched a lot of Kentucky basketball. We feel a lot of pride in our state around connecting around sports. And I see that same kind of commitment emerging around this daily ritual of coming together and hearing the new information and celebrating what we're doing right and calling out what we're not doing right. And it's wonderful. And I've watched a couple of Governor DeWine's press conferences too. And I just think that communication, honestly, if he kept doing that after this were all over, that would be just fine with me. I'd be happy as a Kentuckian to just sit down and hear what's going on in our state every single day at a certain time. Maybe we could skip the weekends. But it's nice, this rhythm of reminding us that, you know what? A lot of political things impact you really personally, and you've got a responsibility to contribute to. So bravo, Dr. Acton. Governor DeWine. We have two Jills that appreciate you very much, as well as a Megan and a Melissa.
Well, I think the smart thing with Dr. Acton, why she's such a great help, and again, Governor Beshear is doing the same thing. I think having the expert up there to ask or to answer questions is such a smart approach. And they're doing that with the Trump administration. That's why Dr. Fauci has become such a, depending on who you are, hero or villain. I think having the experts come up and ask and answer questions, Jill said she's a calm presence and has firm direction. And I love that. Also, for what it's worth, I know lots of people tuning into Andy. I might check out Governor DeWine. There ain't nothing wrong with tuning into other states' press conferences. I'm going to be honest.
And Melissa also wanted to talk about her local officials. She's in Licking County, Ohio, which is a rural county east of Columbus. And she said that there were massive floods in her area on Friday, March 20th. Melissa said, my neighbors had 4 feet of water in their basement. My backyard was a lake and many coworkers lost a lot of property. Our county commissioners, mayors and sheriff worked quickly and effectively to respond to the floods, and to be dealing with a flood in the midst of the health department issues, that's a lot of stress. And she just really appreciates how they're handling it there in Licking County, Ohio.
I mean, I feel like if you have the word official in your title at all, it's a stressful time right now. It's a stressful time for everybody. But if you're in charge of making decisions because the stakes are so high, it's got to be really, really difficult.
And especially if you don't have a medical background, because you're trying to become an expert on something that's never been part of your vocabulary. So, well done. Same thing in Maryland. We have a lot of love for Governor Hogan in Maryland.
So Governor Hogan is a Republican governor in a blue state. Sometimes that's just a good combination. He's been doing daily press conferences. Everybody feels more calm after listening to him. Yesterday, she said, this was back on March 25th, he said that Maryland was third on the list of most proactive state responses. I don't know what that ranking is, but I'd like to see it so that we can praise all the governors being proactive. And she says, I want to compliment him for keeping competent women around him and calling out their competencies, like the Maryland superintendent of school, the Maryland deputy secretary of Department of Health. So I think that, again, just the daily presence, the surrounding yourself with experts who are giving calm, steady guidance, it really cannot be overestimated right now.
And a good reminder from our friends and listeners in states that haven't dealt with this on a statewide level, there are local leaders still doing a terrific job. Mm-hmm. Caitlin has pointed out a number of local leaders. Quentin Lucas, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. David Alvey, the mayor of combined Wyandotte County and Kansas City, Kansas. Ed Eilert, chairman of the Johnson County, Kansas Commission. Frank White from Jackson County, Missouri, a county executive. Four of them have joined together to institute a stay-at-home order for residents in a huge chunk of the Kansas City metro area, which is a really wonderful thing and totally unprecedented. It is hard in those metro areas like Cincinnati, where we have two states together that really function as one. And so to see them come together around this was great, and to see them doing it when Missouri at a state level, at least as the time that we're recording this podcast, has not yet issued a stay-at-home order, is a really wonderful thing.
So keep the compliments and the good stories and the praise for your local officials coming in, and we'll keep sharing them. Today, we also wanted to share just a beautiful piece written by a listener, Shannon, called Lament for Coronavirus. We seem to be in the midst of a bad dream, yet upon waking each day, we again remember our new reality.
We're anxious and tearful and laughing and worried and exhausted and cursing and busy, but slowed down all at the same time.
We don't always hear you. It is far too easy to turn inward or to Netflix or to another article with fancy graphs and headlines.
And yet, babies are being born and nursed and swaddled.
Spring is growing up around us, green shoots, tiny buds.
People sing on balconies and dance in courtyards.
Thank you for sharing that, Shannon. And thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to Pantsuit Politics today. We will be back in your ears on Tuesday. And you can always find us on Instagram and in Patreon. And until then, keep it nuanced, y'all. Dylan Garvin produces Pantsuit Politics every week. Thanks for making us sound better, Dylan.
Elise Knapp is our managing director, which means we could not make it without her scheduling, organization, feedback, and creativity. Thank you, Elise.
We couldn't make Pantsuit Politics without support from our listeners. Go to patreon.com/pantsuitpolitics to learn how you can receive more nuance and help us make the show.
Special thanks to our executive producers who have committed to supporting us in a major life-giving way.
Our executive producers are
Tracy Putoff,
Tim Miller,
Martha Brunitsky,
Tiffany Hasler,
Joshua Allen,
David McWilliams,
Amy Whited,
Allie Edwards,
and Jared Minson. Our theme music is composed and performed by Dante Lima. The music under our ads is composed and performed by Dylan Garvin.
Learn more about our lives, live events that we're involved in, and what we're reading each week by signing up for our weekly newsletter at pantsuitpoliticsshow.com.
And connect with members of the Pantsuit Politics community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.